If you love him and he's been good to you, let's give him praise and magnify him. He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy. We magnify you, Jesus. We bless your name, oh God. Praise God. Praise God. With these two baptized this morning, we've seen 122 baptized in the year 2015 thus far. Let's give God some praise and magnify him for that. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Appreciate the presence of God, the good worship. And you want to be in prayer. You have some church family that already are traveling for this week of holiday family gatherings. And so you want to be in prayer with them that they'll have safety and health and that they will have a wonderful time of fellowship with their family. Likewise, our prayers are with you for that same Christmas experience. Really excited, Nathan, for you to get the Holy Ghost in Bible study this week. And excited for you to go down in the water in Jesus' name this morning. It's exciting. It's wonderful. Praise God. And as far as Amber is concerned, she doesn't want to be a construction manager. She wants to run an orphanage and bless little children with the knowledge of God in situations where they would never have a chance. And their lives are not safe and their lives are in peril on a daily basis. And this orphanage has the potential to give a group of children for a long period of time, maybe till the Lord comes, a safe place to grow and to go to school and to be nurtured in the things of God. And so we want to pray for Amber in this time of transition. And you also want to pray about supporting her and make a notation on a check or just write it at the top on a $100 bill, Amber's $100 bill. That's a joke. Don't deface federal property. But she'd spend it anyway. So, but you want to think about supporting her and helping her in this transitional time. But we appreciate Amber so much today. Praise God. So we have a baby Bible today, and we're going to dedicate little Elizabeth Carr. We don't dedicate children. I mean, we call it a baby dedication, but we really dedicate parents. And so this is for Daniel and Christy, and we're excited to be involved in this today. So we're going to read a text in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 through 15, because we are in Hebrews right now, and we are making our way through the New Testament. And this is a good launching place for our purposes today. Hebrews 9, we're going to read 11 through 15 and 24 through 28. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Verse 24, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then he often must have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. God bless you. If you love his word, as you're seated this morning, let's give God praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, God, and we magnify you, and we thank you for the privilege of handling your word in this house today. And everyone said amen. Praise God. So, Elizabeth, there was a piece written back in the middle of the last century, and it was a well-known and widely repeated editorial in a major newspaper, and it made its run throughout the country. And it just began with the idea, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. And it was a compelling piece on the business of letting children have an imagination and letting children be involved in childish things. But this is not what we've come to deal with today. But I would tell you, Elizabeth, that there is a Jesus. And that there is a Christmas. And that the message of the Christmas story is something that is under assault. But it's not the message, and it's not the tinsel, and it's not the present giving, and it's not the feasting. It is the very core of what we read in that text today. Something there is in this world that hates the name of Jesus. Something there is that hates the story of redemption and the restoration of mankind to God. I'll just tell you this, in the last month, there have been, and these are only ones that have been reported, there have been cases in our country where children in public school settings have been made to copy from the Quran, "There is no God but Allah." They've copied that under the guise of learning calligraphy, but there's something else afoot. And if you thought it would be the propagation of Islam, you would be wrong. It's the destruction of the Judeo-Christian culture that is the heart and breath of this nation. And it is the very first phrasing that you memorize for conversion into Islam. That's happening in our schools, but they're banning the manger scenes from the public square. And you couldn't have a manger scene in a public school setting. And a coach is in trouble for kneeling at midfield at a football game. And they're trying to put out little fires and eradicate Christianity all over this nation because they want a godless society. And to do that, they've got to pull it out by the roots. But I've come to tell you today, Elizabeth, there is a Jesus, and there is a story of his birth, and this thing is real, and it is true, and the world can stand, and the world can resist. But I'll just tell you, there's enough light in this house right now, from my house to your house, in this house of worship, that we can maintain this knowledge of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you'll just simply not shut your mouth, if you'll just simply say, "I won't sit down and I won't shut up, but I'm going to talk about the good things of God and the Word of God as long as I have breath." Is there anybody in this house today that has a heart to live for God, and you want to tell your neighbor about it, and you want it to be shouted from the rooftops? Well, praise God. So we're going to talk about that today. Elizabeth, is Elizabeth in the house? I see your bigger sister there on your, there she is. Yes, yes, beautiful family, these beautiful young ladies, and got some guys in the mix there, and so God's doing some wonderful things there. So let's kind of run through this text that we've read today. Hebrews 9 and beginning in verse 11. And then we're going to make our way through the Christmas story. But Christ, he is the anointed of God. The Christ is the anointed one. Being come and high priest of good things. The whole book of Hebrews is a summary of what God did through typology and shadowing and foreshadowing in the Old Testament. And so Jesus is the fulfillment of all those high priests in the Old Testament. And he is by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. And as we've studied this, we've explained that the tabernacle of Jesus was his body, not made with hands, not of this building. He told them, tear down this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. He spoke of the temple of his body. Not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place. And so the ultimate end of all the typology and the foreshadowing of sacrifice throughout the Bible is the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus himself. And by his own blood, he entered into the heavenly holy of holies to obtain redemption for us. This story is about the redemption of mankind. Christmas is about the redemption of mankind. It's mankind. It is sweetness and it is grace and it is wonderful and we are happy. But I'll just tell you this, everything we do this time of year to celebrate his birth, and I'm with you on every bit of it. It is always present with us, that over every family gathering and over every handing of a gift and every celebratory thing that we do, there is the shadow of a cross that overshadows every part of this, because it's not just about the birth of a baby and it's not just about the sweetness and the world. The world doesn't mind so much participating in a drunken party and a celebration to end the year. But I'm telling you, the message of this is a message of redemption. This is God's perfect little lamb that he sent into the world to be the sacrifice for our sin. How much more, verse 14, shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he's the mediator of the New Testament. And so he is the testament, and the testament is his last will and testament. And it's what he leaves us, and it is engaged at the point of his death. So he's coming and he's working this work of redemption that we might, at the end of verse 15 there, receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And it goes on to talk about how he performed this, how he entered into the heavenly holy of holies, and ends in verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look to him for salvation, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And so Jesus is our high priest. He is our Lamb of God. He is our tabernacle. He is the mighty God of it all. He is all in all. And when he was considering the plight of mankind, he looked, verse 16 of Isaiah 59, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought him salvation, or brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. God looked around and said, nobody else can do this. And so God himself stepped down out of heaven and robed himself in flesh and went through the process of being born as you were born and being raised as you were raised and living a life unto his young manhood and then being nailed to a cross. But make no mistake about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 19, to wit, or know this, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Who was that walking with them? It looked like a man. It had the body of a man, but it was the Creator God himself having stepped down out of the heavenlies to come and do the work, the heavy lifting of redemption. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Every bit of God was in Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, I won't argue with you, Paul says. It is a mystery here. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. But here is his explanation. God was manifest in the flesh. God was justified in the Spirit. God was seen of angels. God was preached unto the Gentiles. God was believed on in the world, and God was received up into glory. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So the business of the Christmas story is how God, by the motive force of prophecy from and throughout the entire Old Testament, brings into being his plan for the redemption of mankind. And so, Elizabeth, this story that I'm about to engage you with is the story of how God brings his plan for redemption to the earth. And we're going to start in Luke chapter 1. We'll use Luke chapter 1 and 2 and Matthew chapter 1 and 2, and we will stagger them and kind of synthesize them to get a broader picture of the Christmas story. You okay? Good. Merry Christmas to you. I defy happy holidays. You need to use it for a platform to say this is about the birth of Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you, nobody knows when he was born, but it's good to celebrate his birthday. He's important. And if we celebrate your birthday, we surely ought to celebrate his. Praise God. So, Luke chapter 1, and beginning in verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, Nazareth is in a very blue-collar area of Palestine. Nazareth is a place that is looked down on by the denizens or the residents of Jerusalem. And even one of Jesus' disciples will say something about Nazareth that is common knowledge. John chapter 1, verse 45, Philip, who will be one of the disciples of Jesus later, finds Nathanael, who will also be one of Jesus' disciples, and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. All of this business we're talking about today has been prophesied over thousands of years. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And that was a common saying back then. Is there anything good in Nazareth? And I think God chose that place to grow up in, just simply to say, I can come anywhere and bring the glory of God to any place or anybody. And if he came to a low-rent district like Nazareth, you have to understand, he can set up shop in your house without any problem at all. So Philip said, come and see. Now, back to Luke chapter 1, verse 27. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and of the virgin's name was Mary. So Elizabeth, Mary, and Joseph both are demonstrated by the genealogies in Matthew and in Luke to be of the lineage and the household of King David. And so God's going to raise up the Christ out of the household of David of the Old Testament. Verse 28, and the angel came in to her and said, hail thou that are highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying. We believe in angels. We believe in God. We believe in the Word of God. We believe in angels. We believe in miracles. We believe in visitation from God. We believe that God speaks to people, not just in the... And this is not a story time book. This is the living Word of God. And an angel came. Elizabeth, and an angel came and talked to her and said, you're blessed among women. You're highly favored of the Lord. In verse 29, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, as we all would be had we seen an angel, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. An angel is talking to me. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, which is what angels always say when they show up and people pass out, because people typically pass out in the Bible when an angel appears. And you would too, and I would too. And he said, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." And the word Jesus is the New Testament version of Joshua. They are one and the same name. It means God has become our salvation. The Hebrew is Yeshua. It is Jesus. God has become our salvation. Verse 32, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David." Now, this miraculous birth was prophesied. You can find it and chart it throughout the Old Testament, but it is very powerfully demonstrated in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. You probably get a Christmas card maybe this year with that inscribed in it. "For unto us a child is born." That's Jesus. "Unto us a son is given." That's Jesus. "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." He's going to have all authority. "And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God." Everybody say, "The Mighty God." A child born, a son given, but he's the Mighty God. You get this? You understand that? Tell your neighbor, the baby was the Mighty God. It gets more illuminating. The next phrase, "the everlasting Father." Tell your neighbor, I gotta tell you, the baby that was born at Bethlehem is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. Now, the Bible never asks you to understand it. The Bible just asks you to embrace it and by faith receive it. And understand that size is not a problem with God. God can dwell in the tiny microscopic pre-embryonic form of that baby. And he did. And he was all of God. And he was the Mighty God. And he was the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Luke chapter 1, verse 33. "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" She's had basic biology. Verse 35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which is born of thee shall be called the Son of God." So just as the Spirit of God overshadowed the earth and brought forth all of creation, the Spirit of God is going to overshadow this little girl and bring about a little body in her womb, and he's going to conceive it, and it's going to be the Son of God. So the Son of God is a body, and the Spirit that enlivened that or indwelled that was the everlasting Father, was the Mighty God. You got this, Elizabeth? Well, there's somebody in this story called Elizabeth. Verse 36, "And behold," the angel continues, "thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren." So 6 months before, Elizabeth and Zechariah had gotten a visit from Gabriel, this same angel. And they had been alarmed that in their old age, they were going to have a child. And they were going to name him John. And he was going to be John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is Jesus' cousin, and he's 6 months older than Jesus. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And Elizabeth, this is a wonderful place for understanding. I want you to really get your little mind and hands, your chubby little hands around this. Anytime God talks to you, you always respond, "Be it unto me according to the will of the Lord." If God tells you to repent of your sins, you need to say, "Be it unto me according to the..." If God tells you to get baptized, you need to say, "Be it unto me according..." If God said he wants to change you or help you or bless you, you need to say, "Be it unto me according to the will of God." And the angel departed from her, and Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered to the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, who is John, that was in Elizabeth, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. This is still under the Old Testament canopy, and all the way through the Old Testament, there are many that are filled with the Holy Ghost. The prophets and some of the kings and the judges and this old lady, Elizabeth, and a lot of people, but the primary difference was that it was a select crowd that received the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament. But today, he said, in these last days, I'm going to pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. So today, anybody can have the Holy Ghost. Anybody in this house could receive the Holy Ghost today. What a wonderful way to cap off an old year and start a new year. What a wonderful gift to receive in this Christmas season. So, and Mary, or Elizabeth, was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice, because when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, there is always an utterance. There's always an utterance. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, in the book of Acts, everybody that got it spoke in tongues and prophesied. And here Elizabeth is, she received the Spirit, and she's prophesying. And you need to understand that when you receive the Spirit, God will give you a sign, and you will speak in tongues, and you will prophesy. And that's how you know you got the Holy Ghost, Elizabeth. So, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? And by the way, Elizabeth is a one God Jew, and she is monotheistic, and the Trinity hasn't been created. It won't be invented for another 400 years in the seat of the Roman Catholic Church. So that doesn't exist here. You can't read that into this. And Elizabeth is a one God Jew. And she said, how is this that the mother of the Lord should come unto me? You know what this is? This is a declaration of the fact that that baby in her womb was the Lord God Almighty. She said, God's mama is standing in this house. Well, praise God. Well, literally, the mama of the body that God would wear was in the house. Because God is eternal, has neither mother nor father, so you get the drift. Now, let's segue into Matthew 1 and pick up another perspective regarding this Christmas story. Is Elizabeth doing okay? She's all right? She's such a well-behaved child. Such an uncommonly calm and wonderful child. I mean, especially within the context of this family. And Merry Christmas, Daniel. Praise God. Matthew 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. So this is the story, Elizabeth. When, as his mother Mary was espoused, she was engaged, she was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, before they were married and they hadn't had sex yet. And Elizabeth, this is a wonderful biblical concept that is totally wasted and lost and forgotten by our world. But in the Bible, people don't get in bed with folks and take their clothes off until they get married. They don't have children until they get married. That's why it was such a shock. Today, nobody would be shocked. They're hanging out, she's pregnant, not a big deal. But in this day, in that little town, it was a big deal. And she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, verse 19, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, what a good guy. He said, she's pregnant, and it's not me, somebody else, and we're engaged. So he's going to put her away privately, which is exactly what the Word of God is talking about when it says, if a man put away a woman except for the cause of fornication, he causes her to commit adultery. We'll study that another time. We'll do that in your wedding vows. We'll talk about that at your wedding. Just next week. What a remarkable thing. Anyway, so Joseph is a just man and a good man, and not willing to make her a public example, was going to put her away privately. But friend of mine, after you get married, she's yours. He said, don't put them away. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. God is so good. Saying, Joseph, thou son of David, Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but you could spend the whole service on how good a guy Joseph was, how remarkable he was, and what a sacrificial position he took in his life to sustain the miracle of God, the reproach that he bore, because he was going to be hanging out with a lady that was not bearing his child, and everybody in that little town knew it. And he was faithful to her. You be faithful to the plan of God, and God's going to work everything out in your life. Praise God. Don't be afraid to take Mary for your wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, this is Isaiah 7 and 14. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And here it is again, which being interpreted, God with us. How can you miss this? And here's another passage of prophecy, and then it's reiterated by the angel and by these, and Joseph names the child this, and it's Emmanuel, and it means God with us. Not a part of God, not a piece of God, not an emissary of God, but God himself said, I looked around, nobody else could do it, and God steps down out of heaven, and God comes to be a baby in a manger, and God comes to die for our sins. And he knew her not. Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Praise God. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord and bless his name. Praise God. Luke chapter 2. And this passage is 2 years after the birth of Christ. We kind of crunch them all together at the manger scene and sing the songs about the wise men. But they didn't come for about 2 years. That's why Herod would kill all the babies that were 2 years and younger, because that's when these wise men first saw the star. And this story is kind of a leftover from the Old Testament stories about the captivity in Babylon and the destruction of Jerusalem, and how Daniel and his buddies were taken off into Babylon to be slaves or to be used there. And Daniel winds up being a wise man there in the Babylonian Empire and also in the Persian Empire. But these guys are astrologers and astronomers, and Daniel is involved in that. And so he gives them the scripture, and these wise men have access to the Jewish book. They have access to the Old Testament, and by doing so, they come into the knowledge that a king is going to be born and that a star will signify his birth. Chapter 2 of Luke in verse 1. It came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, but unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. I'm ahead of myself. I thought I was about to read to you about the kings, but I'm obviously not. So we're going to get to that in a minute. Because he was of the house and lineage of David. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, and here's another prophecy from Micah 5 and 2. Thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little or small among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Here in the original it says his goings forth have been from the primeval times, or he is the old one. This one that will be born in Bethlehem Ephratah is very, very old. His body is very, very new, but his spirit is the eternal God. Verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused or betrothed or engaged wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. I don't care what you hear, Elizabeth, from the world around you or the kids in the neighborhood or anything in the culture all around you. I want you to know there was a day when Mary and Joseph went into this little town called Bethlehem, and there was no room for them there in the inn. And they made themselves a bed in a barn, and she gave birth to a baby and laid him in a feed trough. I want you to know that this story is true, and the creation story is true, and Noah and the ark is true, and the deliverance of God's people out of Egypt is true, and the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ is true. Somebody say amen. Praise God. Just for a note here, that's exactly why we never told our kids about Santa Claus. We said there is no Santa Claus because we didn't want them to wake up at 11 and say, well, they lied about Santa. There probably isn't a Jesus either. You got to get in the head of a 10-year-old kid. So we don't do Santa. You do what you want to do. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger. It happened just like that. There was no room for them in the inn. You always want to make room for God. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. That's what angels do. They make everybody afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. And they always say, fear not. But everybody's laid out, passed out, gasping for air. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He's not an icon for a Christmas tree. He's not some little thing to wear around your neck. He's not a piece of a ornamentation inside a church. He is a Savior. He was born to be our Savior. And this shall be a sign to you. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And he didn't send this announcement to Caesar. And this angel didn't come to the Senate at Rome. And he didn't visit the kings of the nations round about. And he didn't appear in the temple at Jerusalem with the hierarchy and the rulers of the Jews. He came to some simple men on a hillside who were doing their job. I want you to know God's not impressed with all the things that people are impressed with. If he's got a message, he may send it through the most humble person you know. But if you hear a message from God, from that person, you better give it an ear, because God will bring the most important message to the least important person. Now that's like this because everybody's the same in the eyes of God. It came to pass as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even to Bethlehem. You see how responsive these simple people are? They don't argue. They don't say, well, I wonder what he meant by that. And do you think that's even real? And that's a long way down into this. He didn't argue about it. My grandmother never told me anything about this. They didn't argue about it. When God speaks to you, you just need to get up from where you are and do what God said. You need to obey the word of God today. Quit arguing with God. They said, let's go down and see if this is like the angel said. The Lord has made this known to us. And they came with haste. They hurried to do what God told them to do. You need to hurry to do what God tells you to do. Don't wait till after the new year. Don't make it a new year's resolution. Do what God's told you to do today. If you need the Holy Ghost, get it today. If you need to be baptized, do it today. Don't wait. So let's go. And they came in haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe, just like the angel said, lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And that's, if you wonder why we worship like we worship around church and we dance and we shout and we lift our hands, we are like those shepherds. God has spoken to us. God has told us something. And it's the best thing we've ever heard. And it's the best news that you could ever get. And so every time we come together, we do according to the word of God. The word of God says, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Praise him with a timbrel and praise him with a dance. Praise him with the high sounding cymbals and loud cymbals and with stringed instruments and organs. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And so that's why we do that. That's why we worship God, is because this is great, great news. Verse 21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. They didn't name him something other. They named him as the angel or the word of God has prescribed to them. Matthew chapter 2, now the 2-year hiatus and the wise men. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men, or magi, the wise men, from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Elizabeth, when he was born, there was a sign in the heavens. And it was not a normal star, because it's going to, before the story's ended, it's going to come and stand over the place where the baby lies. Stars don't do that. Stars can't do that, because stars are so big they would fry all the animals in the barnyard. And so it's a special sign that God gave. And they followed it. And they followed it, and it came to Bethlehem. So God gave a sign, and God still gives signs. Do you know that he is about to return, and that this that we're reading about today is the first advent, or it's the first coming of the Christ. The second advent, the second coming of the Christ, will also be accompanied by signs in the heavens and signs in the earth. And you need to watch these things, Elizabeth, because they're coming to your world. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in the city of Bethlehem, Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. He's reading, he's quoting out of Micah. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. He wanted to kill him. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And they saw the star, and they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And quite often, this is associated with our gift giving today, and the fact that we give gifts to one another to celebrate the birth of Christ. But as you're getting these gifts, and as you're getting these gifts, you need to remember what the original gifts were and what this celebration is all about. You need to read the Christmas story in your family gathering, and you need to tell the children that it's not just about banana pudding and all the good stuff that we do. And you need to tell the babies, this is about Jesus, and he came down to where we were because we couldn't get where he was, and he's made all the difference for us, and he came to be born like a little baby so we would know we didn't have to be afraid of him. And being warned of God in a dream, those wise men, that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, arise, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and the mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there unto the death of Herod. Lindsay, come help me, and we're going to stop here, and we're going to dedicate a baby. Praise God. Now, Matthew runs the genealogy of Joseph and goes back to Adam, and Luke runs the genealogy of Mary's dad, Heli, and Joseph, the married son there, and runs it all the way back to Adam. And Mark has a similar opening remark. John does something different. John goes all the way back to the beginning when he's talking about this first advent. And he talks about it in deeply theological terms. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word, everybody say, was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, this Creator God. And without him was not anything made that was made. He made it all. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The life you're looking for, the light you need, is the light and the life of God. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He, John, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That Jesus was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, this Jesus, this God, this Word that was God. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. They all gathered around him there in that barn. And I don't know if they understood the depth of what they were seeing. I doubt Mary and Joseph understood the full import of it. But what they were looking at was the Lamb of God and God inside. God's plan of redemption. The Creator of the world came to the world, and the world didn't know him. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, the Jews or Israel, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He's got a name, and it's a name above every name, and every knee has to bow and every tongue has to confess. And when they're questioned about it before the Sanhedrin, Peter said, there is therefore now no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. He's talking about that precious name of Jesus. They were born, those that he allowed to become the sons of God. Verse 13, they were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word, everybody say that's God, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Praise God. Praise God. Hey, Daniel, Christy, why don't you bring your babies and bring all of their entourage, their family and friends, down to the altar this morning. Praise God. If you're glad for the name of Jesus, and the story of redemption, and you understand what Christmas is about, why don't you lift up your hands and begin to praise him and magnify him right now? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What a beautiful princess. Come on, let's stand together all over the house and let's pray. Baby girl, the morning you got dedicated, a young man went down in the water in Jesus' name. The morning you got dedicated, a little girl came to church and she went down in the water in Jesus' name. There were 18 little Latino kids on a bus that came and sat in the service that morning when you got dedicated. There were people coming into the kingdom of God for the very first time, and the gospel was preached on the day that you were dedicated to God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, she can't know all that right now, but you can tell her that. That's going to be the story. You're going to tell her, the day we brought you to the house of God to be dedicated, the fire was in the house, and the word of God was still being preached. Praise God. If there's anybody in the house right now that would like to come repent of your sins, you've just heard the word of God and you want to respond, this altar's open for you right now. If you'd like to come and just say, God, I'm so glad that you've opened up your truth in my life, and you want to come and pray this morning, come on. If you're here and you'd like to receive the Holy Ghost, that would be absolutely appropriate right now. If you'd like to come and be baptized in Jesus' name, we can make that happen for you right now, and God will wash away every sin. Praise God. Sing Jesus. Hallelujah, what a wonder. Somebody say Jesus.
What a wonder you are.
My God, the day you were dedicated, they were singing about the name of Jesus. Praise God. Let's love him. Let's praise him all over the house. Almighty Jesus.
I will love you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus.
Praise God. Well, Danielle, I've got a Bible for her, and you know the drill. She can't read it. She'd tear it up. But you're going to read it to her. So like I say, we're not dedicating children, but we're dedicating adults that have children to have an apostolic house, a godly house, a house full of the things of God, the word of God. So I'm going to give you this. Can I trust you with this, that you're going to tell her what it says, and you're going to make it a reality in her house? And in her years of growing up, you guys gonna do that? You're gonna be a good team in the word of God and raise these kids up in the nurture of the kingdom of God? Good, good. Praise God. You're gonna be a dad that she can look to, and when the whole world is saying there's nothing to that Christmas story, and they've long since driven him out of the public schools and driven him out of the town square, in your house will the light of God still be on in that house? And you're going to dedicate yourself to bring her to the house of God. Don't send her. Don't let the little bus come by and pick her up. But you say, get up, kids. It's time we're going to the house of God. I'm not sending you. We all need to be in the house. And they need to see their daddy living for God. Praise God. You're going to do all that? Praise God. You're going to be a man of prayer and a good example for them? Good, good, good. Praise God. Christy, I'm so glad you're in the house of God today. Praise God. You are a miracle. You're absolutely a miracle. I just remember the first couple of times I sat in your house with a Bible study. And you've just come so far, and you've just been so beautifully crafted by the kingdom of God. You really have. God's done a wonderful work in your life. And I look at these babies and I see these guys come into the house of God, Kobe and Lawson, and I just think God's done a miracle in your life, a wonderful thing. Praise God. So you're going to be this godly woman that this baby needs to look at for her mama. And when she's got questions, she'll know who to come to. And when she needs prayer, she'll know who to come to. Praise God. And you're not ever going to leave the house of God. You're not going to send her on the bus. She's not going to have to stand in the house of God and say, well, my parents used to live for God, but now, no, you're going to bring her. You're going to be here till the dust settles. All right, good deal. You're in good shape, kid. You are in good shape. These folks love you. Well, good. Well, let's extend our hands all over the house toward this family and pray for them. Mom, if you lay your hands, there you go. Let's do that. Let's extend our faith. Mighty God, we pray the blessing of God on this family. We pray that you'd bless Daniel and Christy and all of these babies, and that you'd lay your hand on Elizabeth this morning, that you'd bless her, strengthen her, prosper her. Cause her, oh God, to be anointed from the time she's tiny, that you would cause her, oh God, to be filled with the blessing of God and the wisdom of God. Cause her, mighty God, to walk up and down in your promise and to be a blessing to everyone she touches and to be effective in the harvest. I pray you do it in the name above every name, in Jesus' name. And let's give God thanks and let's magnify him and praise him. Glory, glory, glory. Sing a little bit more. Sing a little bit more. Let's love him all over the house. What a wonder, what a wonder. Jesus. Hallelujah. Ah, somebody praise him. Somebody praise him. Say Jesus.
How we love the name.
Praise God. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name, Jesus. Ah, hallelujah. Praise God. No service tonight, no midweek service this week. We'll have the adult banquet this evening at the Marriott. Look forward to seeing you there. And hope everyone has a wonderful and a prosperous Christmas. Be blessed with your family. Have a wonderful time of family fellowship. God bless you.